dead. Today, cyclists use it to bypass the busy main roads on their way into the centre. It is, however, unaccountably unpopular with the after-work exercise set, and I have the left lane to myself as I walk, still chewing over what I know and what I don't know. Club Zero and Mo. Who sent Uncle Fester? I see three alternatives. Parnin and his friends, the cultist she was sent to shut down, or some third party. Taking it from the top, Parnin is a professional and can be expected to usually play by the rules. Sending a zombie to doorstep an officer in a foreign nation's service at home just isn't done. It's not businesslike. And besides, once you start sending assassins to bump off the oppo, you've got no guarantee that their assassins aren't going to outperform yours. The reason great powers don't usually engage in wars of assassination is that it levels the playing field. On the other hand, cultists like the perps behind Club Zero are far more likely to do that sort of thing. Assassination and terrorism are Siamese twins, tools for outsiders and pressure groups. So my money is on Uncle Fester being an emissary from the cultists the AIVD called Moen to neutralize. Unless there's a third faction in play, a prospect I find far too scary to contemplate. The cycle path narrows and descends deeper into its cutting. The lights are more widely spaced here, and a number of them are out. Hearing a rustling, scampering sound behind me, I glance round as something flickers in the bushes between lights. Dog-like, with a great bush of a tail. An urban fox? Maybe. I didn't see the ears or muzzle, though. Urban foxes aren't a problem, unless you're a cat, but feral dogs might be another matter. I keep walking in the twilight. London is warm and humid in summer, but down here it's almost clammy cold, and there's a faint whiff of something like a sewer, sweet and slightly rotten. I break into a slow jog, aiming to outrun the stench. I have a growing edgy feeling that I've missed something critically important. I've been ploughing along, in harness and under stress, assuming that the crises I'm trying to deal with are all independent. But what if they aren't? I ask myself. What if Angleton's disappearance is connected to Parnin's search for the teapot? What if the Fuller Memorandum holds an explanation? What if the cultists know that we stand closer to the threshold of the end times than we realize and are trying to topple the balance, or perhaps to steal? There's a crack of dead branches under the trees behind me. Panting, inhuman breath punctuates the thudding of a four-footed pursuit. The orange sodium glare leeches away around me, giving way to a different shade of darkness. Trees loom overhead, clutching at each other with wizened arms as bony as concentration camp victims. A thin mist at foot level obscures the tarmac path, and my stomach lurches. I'm not running through suburban London anymore. I'm running along the ghostly trackbed of the Necropolitan line, and the hounds of hell are on my trail, and I left my protective ward with Mo, and I am a fucking imbecile. Shit, shit, shit. Whatever the thing behind me is, it's only seconds away. My heart's already thudding uncomfortably from jogging an hour after dinner. Fucking stupid of me. But while I'm 90% sure that I'm being tracked by something that's about as bad as the proverbial hellhound, in which case I really ought to simply plug it with my pistol and ask questions later, I've got an even nastier feeling that it's tracking me for someone, or worse, herding me along. I have a gun, a hand of glory, and a Jesus phone. So of course I draw my phone and flip the case open, thumb swipe to unlock, and spin round, raising the camera to focus as I tap the grinning skull icon. There's method in my madness, and my pursuer isn't mindless. I get a glimpse of flying haunches and bushy tail as it leaps off the path and into the trees with a startled yip. The screen flashes a red-rimmed maw gaping at me, and my hair stands on end as the phone and my fingertips are engulfed in pale blue fire. Bale fire, it used to be called. I hastily go back to the main screen and stab another app, a diagnostic. Seeing what it says, I swear quietly, and pull up another one that sets a spinning wireframe projection of a 5D tesseract on the screen, as it does its valiant best to set up a ward around me. The dog thing is hiding, and the tendrils of mist draw away from my feet, so I shove the phone in my pocket, still running, and draw my pistol. Then I turn back to the way I was going. The emulator running on the phone's a poor substitute for a real ward, and it's only going to keep it up for as long as its battery can keep its tiny electronic brain running at full power. But armed and warded is the first step to survival. And now I see the peril I'm in with an icy clarity. The second app I looked at was the thermometer, and I should have kept an eye on it earlier as I walked. It's almost off the chart. And all because I'm walking the Necropolitan line. If you wanted to set up a ley line, what better source of power could you hope for than the accumulated grief and sorrow of millions of mourners, to say nothing of the decaying lives of the corpses that travelled it? I should have seen it coming, but I usually only use this cycle path as a shortcut to and from the tube station in daylight. I'm pretty sure I'm being trailed by cultists. When I left home, I was angry in the abstract, but now I am really fucked off. These are the bastards who murdered a bunch of nursery school tots and their teachers, put Mo through the horrors, and they're trying for me now. The only question is, are they chasing me or herding me? I keep going, slowing my jog to a brisk walk, scanning ahead as I move. I hold my gun at the ready with both hands, close to my chest, relying on the invisibility ward to make it look as if I'm just clutching my right wrist with my left hand. The mist at ground level coils and curdles around a pair of translucent parallel rails the color of old bones, resting on a bed of ethereal track sleepers. The trees writhe and knot overhead, clutching at each other, imploring and beseeching. In the distance I hear odd noises. The ghost of sobbing, deep voices intoning something. Words I can't quite make out. I'm sure it's all very eerie, but when reality starts to imitate a second-rate computer game, you know the bad guys have over-egged the pudding. Some fuckhead is hitting me with a glamour in hope of spooking me. It's the sort of tactic that might stand a chance of working if I was a little less cynical, or if they had enough imagination to make it, oh, you know, horrifying or something. Luckily for me, they don't seem to have grasped the difference between a Sam Raimi movie and standing by your dad's hospital bed trying to work up the nerve to switch off the ventilator. So I find the fact that they're sending me woo-woo noises and mist perversely encouraging. I'm having second thoughts about the cultist thing, though. The probability of running into two different cells of the fuckers in the same month is vanishingly slim. And if this nonsense is a message from the same group that tried to landscape downtown Amsterdam last week, they've definitely sent the B-team. I up my pace again, and just then I hear a scraping noise from the embankment to my left, and every hair on my neck stands on end simultaneously. I swing round, extending my arms in front of my face and sliding my index finger through the trigger guard as this thing clatters and scrambles down the side of the cutting in a mad dash towards me, a growl of hatred and hunger sounding an organ note deep in its chest.